It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning gonna keep one downfield. Pass the defense is Cruz, who's got it at the 20. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 70 yards. Salsa time and Big D. Victor Cruz with another.
Play fake. Freeman back to throw. Under pressure. Heaves it downfield. Intercepted by Roll at the 5. Runs left to the 15. Cuts right back to the 20. Looking for a block up to the 30. And drag down there.
Manning takes the snap. Back to throw. Sidearms one left sideline. And it's caught for the touchdown by Reuben Randall.
Colzine takes the snap. Pass
intercepted as he threw it right. Picked off by a jumping Jason Pierre-Paul. And he runs it in for the touchdown. And finally, Carl, you can say you're down with JPP, the 28-yard TD.
Now, here's your host, John Schmelt.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. That's how you join the conversation. Hope everybody's having a great Wednesday morning here in the tri-state area and across the United States. Thanks for joining us this morning. Just a heads up, everybody, might have to cut today's show short just a little bit. A couple things going on here at the facility, but I will keep you updated on that as we go along. I'll be very quick here off the top, then I'll get to your calls early and often and get as many in as I can before I have to say goodbye. So 201-939-4513, the Giants do make a free agent move yesterday, bringing in Charles Brown, former offensive tackle from the New Orleans Saints. He was their starting left tackle for most of the year until he lost his job towards the end of the season to second-round pick Tron Armstead. So more offensive line depth for the Giants. And as they keep adding these offensive linemen, that's the fourth veteran they've added in free agency with significant experience starting in this league, not just playing but starting. That becomes less and less of a need in the draft. And this a tackle. They already have some depth inside a guard. The only thing they seem to be missing right now is a guy that can back up that center position where J.D. Walton is. And we'll see if the Giants make any other moves in free agency heading forward. Stay tuned to Giants.com for that. 201-939-4513. Let's go to the phones and say what's up to Roldy in Bayshore. Roldy, you're our leadoff hitter today. What's going on, man?
Good morning, John. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, Roldy. What's up?
First and foremost, I want to just say I'm happy for DeSean Jackson for, you know, having signing with another team. I mean, I'm not that happy that he's still in the division, but I'm glad that he's getting a second chance, and especially when they try to assassinate the man's character. So I'm happy for him. That
well, I'm not sure if anybody tried to assassinate the man's character, Roldy. He was interviewed and named in a LAPD police report in a potential connection to a murder. So that's not somebody making up a story. That's something out of a published Los Angeles Police Department police report. So I don't think anybody's making anything up. Clearly, he has relationships with some bad people. He's in pictures with them. He was named in a police report. So clearly, in some way, shape, or form, he knows these guys. Now, whether or not he's a gang member, I think, is obviously up for debate. There's no way to know that. But clearly, he is cavorting with some pretty bad people.
Either way, I'm still happy for him. He's getting a second chance.
Right.
You know,
no, that's fair.
I'm happy for him. I'm just not happy that he's still in the division, but I'm happy for the guy.
I hear you, man.
But by signing Charles Brown, you know, another offensive tackle, just like you said, it seems like, you know, and the Giants are definitely not going to concentrate on the first two, maybe in the later rounds, but within the first two rounds, they're not going to be concentrating on offensive linemen. But as far as, you know, that signing yesterday, it seems like they're signing a lot of offensive tackle. I mean, is he a versatile player that can play, you know, a guard position or, you know, I mean, is it just the tackle position he can play?
You know what?
Seems like we got a lot of tackles now.
Well, he was drafted in 2010, so he hasn't been in the league for very long. He was a second-round pick, so obviously he's a guy that, you know, had a lot of potential coming out of school. If you're going to be a second-round pick and going to be played a tackle in a system where you need a good pass protection local than he is a guard, and just based on it, he's more of a tackle than he is a guard, and just based on it, he's more of a tackle than he is a guard, and just based on it,
starting over Pujor or Will Beatty, right? This is
no.
Just
No, not at all. I mean, look, he's 6'5", 284, so his body also kind of out behind Pugh and behind Beattie, and he'll be more competition right now behind Pugh and behind Beattie, and he'll be more competition with, you know, some of the younger tackles. Remember, the Giants really didn't have a backup tackle on the roster. Now they do, so that's certainly a good thing.
Perfect. All right. That's all I have. Thank you for taking my call, John.
Thanks, Roldy. I appreciate it. Though I'm not sure if this addition would preclude the Giants from drafting an offensive tackle in the first round. You know, this guy, I don't think, is a long-term answer at offensive tackle. He's somebody that's depth for now and maybe an option down the road. I still think an offensive tackle would be an option for the Giants. Though, again, I'm not of the opinion that that's a guy you pick in round number one. But we'll wait and see. See what happens. 201-939-4513. Tim is in Jackson, New Jersey. Tim, what's going on, pal?
Nothing, John.
What do you got,
Tim? How are you?
I'm doing well, Tim.
How about talking about the Giants free agency?
Sure.
The Giants need to look to sign Robert Ayers to replace Justin Tuck.
You know what? Robert Ayers would actually, I think, be a pretty decent fit. The Giants need depth at defensive end right now behind Jason Pierre-Paul and Mathias Kiwanuka. They only have really, you know, one player on the roster, Demontre Moore, Tim. So, you know, Ayers is a guy, you know, he's not a sack machine. He had 5.5, which was his career high last year. He's 28. He's in the prime of his career. He could slide over and play that Justin Tuck spot as a pretty good defender against the run, too. Thanks, Tim. Appreciate the call, buddy. So, I think Ayers could be a fit in terms of veteran depth. We talked about the need of adding people at defensive end, mostly in the draft. But, look, if he's a guy that's willing to come here for the right type of contract based on what kind of cap space the Giants have, I think it's someone that could certainly help this team on a rotational basis. Now, he's not going to be a game-changing sack guy, but he can be a solid player off the edge. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Christian in New York next. Christian, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, John?
Doing well, Christian. How's it going?
Good. What I was wondering about is if Jernigan ends up winning the third receiver role,
yeah,
if they would switch out him and Cruz from the slot from time to time instead of going fully Cruz in the slot.
Yes, I believe if Jernigan proves to be the third best wide receiver and he's the, you know, the first guy off the bench in those three wide receiver sets, I think Victor Cruz would play outside a lot more. I think his body is and his skill set lends itself to being much better outside than Jernigan would be. And let's be honest, Cruz has had a bunch of success playing outside over the course of his career. It's not like he's just a slot guy. He's beaten guys on the sideline plenty.
Oh, absolutely. I've noticed it myself, but everyone else seems to label him a slot receiver a little more than they probably should.
Yeah, look, he's a guy that is certainly, I think, his best position is in the slot. I think that's where he plays the best. But I had this argument last year when Victor Cruz is going through his contract dispute with the Giants, and people are like, oh, you can't pay him more than Wes Welker. He's nothing more than a slot guy. That's nonsense. Victor Cruz is a lot more than a slot guy. He has speed to beat you over the top, which a lot of those possession slot receivers don't have. And he can play outside and be very effective outside. So you're 100% right. He is much more than just a quote-unquote slot guy.
Yeah, and what I was also wondering is if there's a possibility that Manningham could fully take Jernigan's role if there's real competition there.
I think there'll be real competition for sure. I don't think what Joe Jernigan flashed the last two or three games of last year is going to, you know, is going to grant him that spot without having to earn it in camp. Look, he's battled injuries his whole time here. He's battled unsteady hands his whole time here. Just because those issues disappeared for a 2.5-game stretch, I'm not going to go nuts here and say this is his job. He's going to have to beat Manningham out. He's going to have to beat out whoever the Giants draft, if they draft somebody at wide receiver. If they bring in a veteran wide receiver in free agency, they're going to have to beat out that guy too. Look, they're not handing Jernigan anything. This guy's going to have to go out there and earn that spot. It's not earned just because of two games and one quarter at the end of 2013.
That's a very good point. And also, I just wanted to mention that with that much being said and the moves in the last couple of days, it looks like it's going to be a receiver first round.
I mean, I don't know if we know that for sure. What happens if when the Giants pick at number 12, you know, there's nobody on the board that they believe is worth that number 12 pick? I mean, I can't say that. What happens if Watkins and Evans are both off the board? I don't think you can, you know, fit yourself into a narrow alley here and say we have to take somebody at this position in the first round. I think they'll look at wide receivers. They'll look at tight ends. I think they'll look at defensive ends if somebody they believe is good enough at number 12 to pick there. I think they'll take a look at defensive tackle if a guy like Aaron Donald's on the board. I think those are all potential options for the Giants.
Yeah, absolutely. And there could always be a faller in the draft that they can't pass up. So
yeah,
you never know.
For sure. Appreciate the call, man.
All All right, thank you.
Thank you. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Shakes in Baltimore, Maryland next. Shakes, what's going on, pal?
Hey, what's going on, man?
How are you?
I'm all right, man. I wanted to pick up on that wide receiver situation. Because I know that, you know, Cruz is – I call him the slot guy, right? I'm the main one that calls him a slot guy.
Shakes, you are not alone. There are a lot of people that just call Victor Cruz a slot guy.
Yeah, and I wanted to say, you know, I know that he does go to the outside. It's just that I kind of label them that way, you know? I label Knicks as like a number one receiver. I label Cruz as like the guy that goes in inside, you know, in the slot. Now, I know he goes in the outside, but he dominates. I mean, absolutely dominates in the slot area.
Yeah, sure.
So that's why I like for us to have two guys that can be on the outside and put Cruz in that slot position. And Jernigan, he did flash. But if I had to go in the season right now as Jernigan being our number three, I'm kind of a little worried. I'm just a little worried. I'm not totally like, okay, we don't have a real wide receiver. No, I wouldn't say that. But I would be a little worried, like, oh, can he really step up, you know? And maybe he can prove me wrong. But I just want somebody there that I can trust that can do the job. And I know Super Mario could do it, but I don't know if his legs can hold up. So we need another wide receiver. If we don't get Evans, we better get Montez Bryant in the third. What you think?
Look, I think the Giants certainly going to add a wide receiver at some point, whether it's a veteran free agency or in the, you know, middle rounds or early rounds of the draft.
Oh,
Shakes, I don't think there's any doubt about it.
Hey, wait a minute. John, let me stop you there. Who in free agency do you like?
I don't think there are a whole lot of guys left, but you never know who's going to get released after June 1st, Shakes. So I think at this point, you're going to probably wait it out till June 1st, see if any veterans get released. But I think they're going to add somebody in the middle rounds of the draft. I really do.
And so you putting your chips on Ebron now, huh? You're an Ebron guy?
I think Ebron's certainly a choice in the first round. I'm not sure if he's the choice. I mean, it depends who's on the board.
So you ain't make your choice yet?
I have not made my choice yet. But I think at 12, Ebron is a guy that's certainly in the mix. In my opinion, Shakes, I do not believe Mike Evans will be on the board at 12. And I don't think any other wide receiver is worth selecting at 12 in this draft.
No, it's either Watkins, Evans, or no.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
No. Yeah, so I'm with you on that. Okay.
Thanks, Shakes.
All right, man. All right.
Appreciate it. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Let's go back to our phones and say, what's up to Rolando in New York? Rolando, what's going on, pal?
Hey, good morning, Big John. How are you, bro?
Good morning. How are you, Ro?
Good, good. First and foremost, I like the competition that they're bringing into the team. It's going to be a real competitive camp. Love it. Love it. And I'm basically making a draft based on need and value. And I'm going this way, John. Donald in the first, Crichton, defensive end, second, Richburg, third, Lynch, fourth, Norwood, fifth, James Hirsch, offensive tackle, the second, fifth, and my last pick will be Max, the inside linebacker from Michigan State. What do you think, bro?
Look, Rolando, I can't sit here and predict who the Giants are going to take in the fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh round. I mean, who knows who the hell is even going to be on the board at that point. So I'm not going to go that deep into the draft. What were your first three-round picks again? Give them to me one more time.
Donald, defensive tackle.
Yeah.
Crichton, defensive end for Oregon State, and Richburg from Colorado State. And I'm taking this basically from the CBS pro ranking. I'm not reaching for anything. I'm going according to our lot and below. I'm not doing any reaching. And I'm just basically on need. You know, I don't see this happening because I like the kid from Jordan Matthews, the wide receiver. I love him. I think he'll be a great guy in the second round, you know, and I'm just doing this on need, just to finish the defensive fortitude. You know, fixing the defense so that we have that pass rush to, you know, help our defensive backs. What do you think, Holmes?
Here's the problem, Rolando. I think you're getting some good players there. I think here's your problem. Where's your offense? I mean, that means you're going into your season with no tight end. You're going into your season with Reuben Randle and Jernigan as your second and third wide receivers. And do you trust that those are enough weapons to bring Eli Manning back to the type of player he was 2 years ago?
No.
That's a problem.
No, I'm just drafting by need and fly. Well, realistically, I'm just going to sit back and enjoy.
No, you know what? But Rolando, you aren't drafting by need because the Giants need help on offense, especially outside at wide receiver and tight end. And I don't think you're giving them enough help.
Well, I took Lynch in the fourth.
Yeah, but Lynch, I know what Paul Dottino said yesterday. Arthur Lynch is projected by people to be a sixth or seventh round pick, all right? This guy is not a guy that's going to step in here and be a difference maker at tight end in year number one. He's a depth guy. He's a blocker. He's a second or third tight end, maybe at best.
But I saw him with the CBS ratings more of a fourth. But I'm just thinking that we're going to change philosophy, John. I think we're going to be more smash mouth, swing, using the running back as a dump pass, something over the middle. I don't think we're going to go as much downfield as we used to because we don't have the weapons. And even if we get them in the second or third round, I don't think they're going to be ready at the beginning of the year. And I think we're going to be more smash mouth. I think we're going to play close to the vest, tight defense, you know, running the ball, play action pass. That kind of stuff. I don't think we're going to go downfield as much. For the same reason you're saying, we don't have the weapons.
I hear you, but I think it's very, unless you have a defense that's going to be a top three defense, like the Seattle Seahawks or the 49ers, I think you're going to be very hard-pressed to win playing that type of offense. And quite frankly, do we even know the Giants have the horses up front in the running game to be a team that runs the ball 35 times a game? I'm not sure if we even know the Giants have that capability. Plus, on the defensive side of the ball, as good as the secondary is, besides John Beeson, you don't have any difference-making linebackers. And on the defensive line, right now you have one difference-making player in Jason Pierre-Paul if he's healthy, and another one that's pretty good in Colin Jenkins. So I don't think you have the defense to be that conservative on offense. And again, I'm not even sure you have the push up front to be that dominant in the running game.
You're right. I just threw it out there just to see in terms of discussion. I'm just sitting back. I love the signings for the fact that we have more options. We're not, you know, locked in on just one particular guy. At the beginning of the season, you heard me say Justin Gilbert, you know, the corner, because I just thought that was our need. Our biggest need, it's been and continues, is defensive line, which I was hoping for Arthur Jones before he signed. You know, that was my biggest. My two guys I wanted in this free agent was Schwartz and Arthur Jones. After that, everything else I was going to deal with, you know, re-signing Booth, through the draft and hoping in that direction. But other than that, I'm ecstatic that we got this many options now. Have a good day, bro.
Hey, appreciate the call, Rolando. Thanks, man. 201-939-4513. I'm really surprised how many Giant fans have, you know, navigated themselves towards defense in this draft. And I'm getting it a lot of Aaron Donalds in the first round, you know, pick a defensive end in the second round. Guys, you need help on offense. Do you remember how bad this team was on offense last year? I mean, they were terrible. The owner after the season said the offense was broken. I mean, that's a big issue. It really is. And yeah, Jeff Schwartz was a great signing. Rashad Jennings, great signing. But the rest of the guys they brought in, besides J.D. Walton, who also was expected to start but didn't play last year, is depth. Are those two guys and a new offensive coordinator going to turn around the offense in the snap of a finger? You need bodies. You need weapons. And you get those in the draft. You know, we talked about it before the season started that we didn't like any of the weapons and options out there at tight end and free agency. And obviously the Giants didn't either. They didn't bring anybody in. you know, there weren't a ton of wide receivers either. So I think really you need to address those situations in the draft. I don't think you have much of a choice. I think you have to do it. 201-939-4513. Let's go back to the phones. Up next is Fred in Myrtle Beach. Fred, what's going on down there?
Hey, John. First-time caller.
Hey, thanks for calling, Fred.
My life.
Hey, appreciate it.
I love your show, man.
Thank you.
I want to say I think JR is doing a great job so far. I like all these moves. He's filling the holes that we need.
No, Fred, you know what? You're 100% right. I just want to jump back onto something that Rolando said in his call, and you just echoed the sentiment. That's what free agency is for. The free agency period is for filling holes so you're not stuck in the draft having to draft somebody at a certain position. And Jerry Reese has put the Giants in a great position in the draft where they now have legitimate options where they can go one of a few different ways in their first few picks.
Yep, I agree 100%. I like the re-signing of Patterson also. I think he had a pretty good year last year. But I still think, and you're probably not going to like me for this, is I still think if Donald is available at 12, we got to take him and then use 2, 3, and 4 to get receiver and tight end and other offensive help.
Now, Fred, you know what? I'm okay with that. If you want to use one of those first few picks on defense, I'm fine with that. If you get to 12 and you're looking around and Aaron Donald is by far the best player you have on your board, because let's say Ebron's gone, let's say Mike Evans is gone, maybe two of those three offensive tackles are gone, and you say, you know what, we think this guy is going to be an 8-sack-a-year guy from the defensive tackle spot, and he's going to be a starter for 10 years, and you want to take Aaron Donald, I don't have an issue with that. I run into an issue when you start saying, all right, we're going to pick a defensive guy in rounds 1, 2, and 4. That's when I have a problem. But if you think he's going to be a star and he's there in the first round and he's better than everybody else that's left, take him. I got no problem with that.
Yeah. Evans might be better, but I think I would take Donald over Evans. But then if Donald isn't available, then I think we got to go with Ebron.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think those three guys you mentioned right there are three of the guys that could be available in the Giants pick at 12 and are probably among the best players on the board.
Yep. All right, that's pretty much all I wanted to say. Thank you for taking my call, and hopefully I'll be talking to you again in the near future.
Yeah, sounds good, Fred. Thanks for listening, and thanks for calling in, bud.
All right, thank you.
Hey, have
Bye.
A good one. 201-939-4513. Oh, I haven't heard from Ed down in Maryland in a while. Ed, what's up?
Hey, what's up, John?
How are you? Yeah, what's going on,
yeah,
man?
Yeah, I'm just trying to see all the Giants moves happen. I have a few things I want to talk about.
Sure.
Number one was a Zach Bowman signing. He only signed for the veteran minimum, and Terrell Thomas is still out there. And I just was wondering why the Giants chose not to bring him back. You know, he was hurt, you know, for the 2 years, you know, before last year, but he had a good year last year. And I was kind of thinking, was it because of the Cowboys game last year when the Giants did all the talking before the game and he had a bad game? And, you know, what was the decision in not bringing T2 back?
Now, honestly, I don't have any inside information here, so basically what I'm going to give you now is speculation and opinion. But what I think happened is that the Giants were tired of giving out that injury report after practice on Wednesday every week and saying, well, Terrell Thomas couldn't practice 2 days this week because we're resting and managing his knee. So while he was healthy in terms of, you know, the ligament being intact and things of that nature, you know, it was a deal where he couldn't practice a lot and he was in and out of the lineup and they had to manage his snaps. When they played that Thursday game against the Bears, they had to rest him the week before so he could play in that Thursday game because the games were so close. And I think they just got tired of having to manage that knee and they'd rather bring in a guy that's 100% healthy.
I mean, that makes sense, but it's just kind of sad to see him go because he was always one of my favorite Giants. And then the other thing I want to talk about is the draft. And I was hearing Paul talk about it yesterday. I really don't see the notion behind us taking a tackle with the 12th pick, even though I would love to take Matthews or Robinson or Luan there. Just with all the signings that we made, signing G.R. Schwartz, who's going to start at left guard, Will Beattie, who had a really bad year last year, I'm just seeing him as the only guy that could possibly not be a starter next year, but you have to start him because how much you paid him last year. So let's just say he's starting at tackle, Schwartz at guard, and then Center Walton Sneed's going to start at right guard. Right tackle is still Pugh. If you bring in a first-round tackle, where does he want to play right away? I just don't see the Giants taking tackle. And I don't also see us taking cornerback at 12 either, being that we signed three corners during the free agency. So that leaves us with only, you know, going towards wide receiver or tight end. And, you know, I just don't understand people still saying, you know, saying the Giants are going to use a first-round pick at tackle. I think if we take a tackle, that means he's either going to be cut or traded. And that's just what I'm saying. I just don't see us using a pick that high for a guy that won't come in and start right away.
Well, he could start right away if you put him at right tackle and move Pugh inside. That's the case in situation where he could start right away, and then you would probably, your starting lineup would be whoever you draft to tackle, Ed, with Beattie at tackle. You'd have Pugh at guard along with Schwartz, and you'd have J.D. Walton as your starting center. That theoretically is what you could do, but I agree. Before free agency started, I thought two of the likely first-round picks for the Giants would have been at corner. That's no longer an option considering how much work they've done there in free agency. And I thought offensive line was another potential spot. And I do think it's still in the mix, but I think it's a lot less likely now than it was a month ago.
Yeah, I mean, but I just don't, you know, Snead has been all pros, been a starter. So if you move you inside, so that means Snead's going to be on the bench. I just don't see that happening unless maybe Pugh moves to center, which is, you know, kind of far-fetched, being that he was a left tackle in college, and then he played right tackle last year. To move to center is a big switch for him. So I think the draft board is, you know, is pretty much coming clear for us. At 12, we have the luxury of taking the best offensive player there. Maybe defensive player, you know, I like the linebackers. I like Mack and C.J. Mosley. But I don't think Mack is going to be there.
Nope.
So I think logically, Mike Evans or Ebron is the pick. And knowing how the Giants draft tight end is that position, they'll take high besides Shockey. There's a lot of tight ends in the draft. So I think second or third round, we could get a tight end there. So to me, to narrow it down even further, I'll say wide receiver is the best position we can take that can come in right away and really help us out and fill a need. And if the Giants don't think Mike Evans is going to be there, it would probably make sense to trade up to get into the top 10, which shouldn't be hard, being that we're only at 12. You know, probably only cost maybe a third or fourth round pick to trade up to, you know, top 10 to get one of those guys. But, I just want us to, you know, focus on that line. Like the Giants did, I mean, I think my starting five on the line is straight already. Beattie is the only question mark. And can you also tell me what the cap hit for Beattie is if the Giants chose to cut him? You know, how much of a cap hit they would take?
The Giants would not be able to cut Beattie this offseason. If they wanted to cut him and not take, like, a ridiculous dead money hit, from what I understand, if our buddy NYG Cap Central on Twitter has his numbers right, is if they wouldn't be able to do it until next offseason, they would have to make him a post-June 1st cut. So letting him go at this point this season is not realistic.
Yeah, I didn't think so. But it's a travesty how bad he played last year, and the Giants would love to have him as a fixture at tackle this year, but being that he played so bad, it's not like he was hurt that made him play bad. He just was getting beat. So I don't know if he got the money and he just didn't play as hard, but his job's definitely on the line. And like I said, I wouldn't mind us taking one of those top three tackles just because they're upgrade over Beattie. But ideally, we would like to keep Beattie at tackle and hope he bounces back. And just hope that the starter five we have for the line is set for the season. So that's all I have, John.
Thanks, Ed. Appreciate it, man.
No problem.
Good to hear from you, Ed. 201-939-4513. Stick on our phone. Sam is in Florida. Sam, what's going on?
Not much, man. Kind of stay on the same track as everybody else. Reese is doing a great job, you know, for competition, and camp's going to be crazy. And the new report of Robert Ayers visiting, if we sign Ayers, free agency has been amazing and has left me completely confused. Not because I don't want him signed.
Why are you confused?
I don't know what to do for the draft. Like, the draft's going to be crazy. Because I feel like if we fill in Robert Ayers, I feel like it allows Reese to just sit back and just pick who is really the best player available. And my thing is, obviously, we do definitely need a offense for sure. But Aaron Donald, man, every time I watch this guy, man, this guy's first step is more than special. I mean, I've never seen somebody come off the line the way he does I mean, almost, I don't want to say ever because I'm not saying he's the greatest, definitely not. But just his first step, that's all I'm talking about. That is incredible. The way he can get in gaps because of his size is amazing. The comparison to Geno Atkins, NFL.com did, is great.
No, Sam, I agree. I think Aaron Donald is going to be a dynamic pass-rushing defensive tackle in the NFL. I don't think anybody doubts that.
And that's exactly what we need, not in the sense of the whole team in general. Yes, we need playmakers. We need a tight end for sure. Like I said, I really hope Adrian Robinson just would stay healthy. But we definitely need a tight end. We definitely need another receiver for sure. But what we need, say, a defense to make it, I don't want to say complete because we still need some more linebackers and everything, but down the line, we got Kuhn, Patterson, and Hankins at the three, and or at the one. And Donald is, I mean, behind Jenkins, there's nobody else that can pass for from the inside. That's it. And I think he's just perfect fit. And I think at 12, there's just, you can't beat it. Except for the tackles. I just don't think they'll make it to 12.
Right.
Those guys are just really talented. Those guys are legit, man. And if they make it to 12, there's no way we pass up a Taylor Lewan or a Greg Robinson or something like that. But I think Aaron Donald is special. That first step is just crazy. And I think we'll definitely go that way. But and I think because tight end in the second round is great. I think it's not a big drop-off from Ebron to – for me, at least, to like Nichols and CJ from Iowa. I mean, yes, they're not as dynamic, maybe, but really, all around, those guys are better all around.
Well, Sam, what I would say is that, like you said, they're very different type of players. You know, Nicklaus and Fedorowicz will be more of a blocker, possession receiver type of guy. They're not going to move the needle in the passing game. They're not going to give Eli Manning, you know, big mismatches and targets down the field in the middle of the defense. Ebron will give you that. So, yeah, they're probably more all-around complete players, but they don't have that ridiculously high upside as a pass receiver that Ebron does.
No, they don't. And one guy that called right before me talking about like running the ball and stuff like that, I think he was on the right track, but in the sense that we're not really going to run the ball. I do think that our offense is going to be more of get the ball to the playmakers quicker and make it happen. You know,
right.
Let them get the ball. Because something that killed me with Gilbride that he started doing towards the end of the season where he got the ball to the playmaker quick throws because the line couldn't hold up and let them make plays. And I think that's what's going to happen. And
no, well, though, Sam, I agree, but here's the problem. Who's making those plays for you besides Victor Cruz?
No, I know. I definitely understand. But I think I'm not saying that Jernigan's just because of 1 year, but Jernigan has a chance. And we're going to definitely got to get a receiver. Don't get me wrong. Second round, receiver for sure. Third round, at least in the first 3 rounds, you got to get a receiver. Definitely. But Mike Evans isn't a type of receiver for that type of offense, for like a West Coast type, some type of hybrid of what maybe Green Bay does. You know, Aaron Rodgers, he does throw a lot of balls, but it's all – what the defense gives them, bam, and they make plays. Randall Cobb, Jordy Nelson, how many screen plays they throw to Jordy Nelson? I mean, it's all just get the ball out. Let them make plays. And Mike Evans, I love him. I think he's great. Ball in the air, I mean, most likely he's coming down with it. But I just don't feel like that's the type of offense we're going to be running. So maybe in the second round, if we can get like a Brandon Cook or something like that, somebody quicker. But I just think at 12 – Aaron Donald just fits exactly for what we need, especially if we sign, like I said, Robert Ayers. And our defense will be young, and that secondary is just amazing.
Right? Sam, I think you're making some sense. I appreciate the call, man.
Take care, man.
Thanks, bud. And I think Sam makes a good point. If you pick Donald at one, which is fine, again, I think he's going to be a great player. If that's a decision you want to make and you think he's the best guy on the board, I'm fine with it. But, hey, remember, the Giants have never really taken a tackle that early in the draft. The earlier they take it a tackle in recent years was William Joseph back in the early 2000s. But then you're going to have to go with a wide receiver in three and probably a tight end in two or vice versa. I really think you have to. Guys, look, I'm just trying to make sure that your quarterback, who you're paying $20 million to, has guys to throw the football to that can get open. Right? That's all I'm trying to do here. I think Aaron Donald's an excellent player. I've never said a bad thing about the guy. And again, if you're telling me that I have a blank roster sheet and I'm building this team from scratch, do I think Aaron Donald's probably a less risky and overall a better player than even Mike Evans and Eric Ebron? You know what? He might be. He might just be. And frankly, whichever offensive tackle is going to be on the board at 12 is probably a less risky and better overall talent than Evans or Ebron, if you're starting with a blank roster sheet. Probably better player, and a safer pick, for that matter. But we're not dealing with a blank roster sheet. We're dealing with a team last year that couldn't score if their lives depended on it. When guys didn't get open. I mean, guys, look, I know people are all excited about Gerald Jernigan the last few weeks of the year, right? One game came against Washington, who literally had the worst slot corner in football last year. The game against Seattle, where he played well in the fourth quarter, was garbage time when Seattle was up by 3 touchdowns. And then you had the game against Detroit, who had one of the worst defenses all year. So I'm not willing to bet the house on Jarrell Jernigan here. Now, I do agree with Sam, and I think he made some good points in regards to the Packers' offense and how they deal with little quick passes, quick screens, and they let the guys make plays. I think that's something Jernigan could be good at. Now, here's my issue, the bigger one, and that's Reuben Randle. Look, Reuben Randle, I want to bring up his numbers here. He had a good year last year overall. Here's my problem with Reuben Randle, all right? Once teams figured out that Hakeem Nicks wasn't going to beat him, all right, and he was a shell of himself, and they started sending double teams to Victor Cruz, I'm going to pick up after week 6. I'll pick up after week 7 for you. How about that? Starting with the Philadelphia game on October 27th. 0 catches against Philly. 3 targets, 3 catches, 50 yards against Oakland. 3 targets, 3 catches, 37 yards against Green Bay. 3 catches in 7 targets, 64 yards against Dallas. 3 catches in 4 targets, 20 yards against Washington. 2 catches, 4 targets, 27 yards against San Diego. No catches against Seattle. Detroit, 4 catches and 9 targets, 40 yards. And then I believe he was hurt and didn't play against Washington, if I recall properly. So that last 8 games of the year, all right, in a half season, he played 7 of those games. He had 9, 12, 14, 18 catches. 18 catches in 7 games to close out the year for Randle. That's bad. Legitimately bad. 2 touchdowns, none of which came in his last 5 games. That's a concern for me. And I'm going to throw this out there, too, and I'm sure a lot of people might not want to hear it. As much as people complained about how much Kevin Gilbride's, you know, complicated system made it hard for guys to learn and there were miscommunications, guess what? That system also turned Victor Cruz into a nobody that didn't get drafted into one of the top wide receivers in football. His ability with Eli in the slot to read opposing cornerbacks and go either direction or over the top based on how they were playing him is one of the reasons he was able to be so effective in that slot. Now, if you're going to take that away from him theoretically, is he going to become a worse player? Less effective? I don't think it's ridiculous for me to say that could be the case. Remember, guys, Victor Cruz was undrafted out of college. He thrived with the Giants, not only because of what he did and how hard he worked and what a good player he is, but because of the system he was put in and that the Giants used him the right way. Now, we'll see if he can carry that on to a different system. I don't know if he can. I think he'll be able to. But will it be as effective? I don't have the answer to that. Nobody does. That's why I really think you have to keep your eye on the offense here moving forward. You have to. But I do agree with something else Sam said. And it was a good call, Sam. I appreciate it. Really good points. That adding a guy like Ayers, if they do something like that, and again, it's just reports that he visited. Nothing's official. There's nothing out from the Giants that they're even close. But that would solidify the defensive end position in a lot of ways and make it less of a priority. You have 3 vets and a young guy in DeMonte Moore to develop there. That's a good combination. Now you draft a 5th guy, all of a sudden, how much is that 5th guy even going to play? Probably not a whole lot, to be honest with you, if you have an Ayers, Kiwanuka, and Tuck. So less likely to me that then you draft a defensive end. And that frees you up then either for another offensive lineman, a guy like Donald, who I think is probably a stronger option, like Sam said, if you add a guy like Ayers. But again, weapons on offense, wide receiver, tight end. And I think a running back in the middle rounds is in the mix too, to be honest with you. Who's your developmental running back right now? Michael Cox? Seventh round pick? Eh. You got Payne Hillis. You got Rashad Jennings, two veterans. But, you know, David Wilson, we'll see what happens with the neck. But if they want to pick a running back in the fourth or fifth round, that wouldn't surprise me. And you can get a guy that can be a 8 to 10 carry a guy game in his rookie year. 6 to 8 in the fourth or fifth round. You can live with that. 201-939-4513. Thanks for holding through my little rant there. I guess it was a rant. Let's go to Andrew down in Missouri. Andrew, what's going on?
Not much. How's it going?
I'm doing all right, Andrew. What do you got for me today?
I think one of the biggest things we need to address is tight end. You know, we got to have a big guy down the middle for Eli to hit. And even if we do get Ebron in the first round, you know, we have nobody who has any experience playing. You know, is there any way we go for a guy like maybe JerMichael Finley, who's been a McAdoo guy, or anybody in free agency?
I don't think JerMichael Finley at this point is going to be an option. I think there are still some issues with his health. I'm not sure if he would pass every team's physical. And he's not much of a blocker. He's mouthy. He's a guy that's had drop issues in the past. I don't think a guy like Finley would be an option. Now, could I see maybe a guy like Owen Daniels eventually showing up here on a really low-money contract as a stopgap veteran safety net? I could see something like that. We'll see who gets cut after June 1st. Maybe you can add a veteran tight end at that point. I think both of those things could be distinct possibilities to add some experience. Even if they do draft a tight end in the first or second round, I agree. I think they will at some point, Andrew, add a veteran tight end in free agency.
Okay.
All right, appreciate the call, bud.
Yep.
Hey, have a good one, man. 201-939-4513. Charles is in North Carolina. Charles, what's up?
Hey, John. Hey, look, man. I've been really doing a lot of film work and study on these players, man. It's been pretty fun. I'm going to be honest with you. The thing about the Ebron pick and the Giants need to tight end and all that good stuff. I'm with you on that, but I don't see a lot of difference other than speed with him, Jenkins, Amaro, and maybe one other guy. You know, none of those guys, Ebron included, none of those guys were really blocking tight ends in college. They were slot guys. They were guys that were sent out wide. They were playing. They were more receivers.
There were only two guys. There were only two guys in the first two rounds that were used as blockers in college. That was Troy Niklas, and that was Austin Seferian Jenkins. Those two guys were used as inline blockers in, you know, semi-pro style offenses. I think they would be fine blockers in the NFL. Niklas probably better than Seferian Jenkins. But Jason Morrow played in the slot 90% of the time, like you said, and Ebron, for the most part, was used outside and as a receiver as well.
Again, so that's my main reason right now where I say, you know, I want Aaron Donald because watching the film on this guy, oh, my God, he's pretty much uncheckable, man. They had I seen one game where he was double-teaming him, and he was still getting away, still getting to the play, still getting to the quarterback. This guy, you're not going to find his kind of talent later in the rounds in the draft. Tight end, I would love to have Jenkins because, you know what, Ebron is 245 pounds, man. Jenkins is 270, 265, 270. You're going to be able to teach a Jenkins how to block. They both can catch. They're both pretty fast. Jenkins is 4'7". Ebron's 4'6". Ebron, the only thing he has over them other tight ends is speed. They all can catch. They're talking about the top three or four guys now. They all can catch. They all were good receivers. Jenkins really wasn't known for a blocker in college. I did my research. He really wasn't. Ebron's not. But if you got to talk, if you talk about the prototypical tight end body-wise, size, build, athleticism, man, give me Jenkins because, look, he's going to be – if we're talking about building a team through the trenches, I'm going to want a guy – of Jenkins' size on the line, we already know that Coughlin likes to run the ball.
Well, that's Charles, kind of it depends what you're looking for. If you want the guy that's going to be more of the, you know, 40 to 55 catch type of guy, that's going to be more of a possession receiver, and is going to be a reliable blocker, then yes, you would prefer to take Seferian Jenkins or Niklas in the second round. That would be your choice. If you're
Hold on, John. Hold on.
What?
Hold on now. The guy is a little better than the possession guy. I mean, he runs a 4.7. That's not slow.
If these guys were explosive players that could stretch the field down the seam, they'd be first round picks.
I mean, but again, look at what we're saying here. We Jenkins, Amaro, like you said, and Ebron, all those guys were mainly receivers in college.
Safarian Jenkins was used as a blocker in college.
As far as the tape and the things I read about him, they saying he wasn't big on blocking in college. He wasn't a big blocker in college.
He can
with his build, but he needs to get that part of him needs to be refinished and refined.
No, obviously, so, Charles, all these guys need to become better blockers, and I'm not saying Zafarian Jenkins is a better blocker or even as good of a blocker as Niklas is. He's not. But he's blocked a lot more. And in a pro-style offense in Washington, he's blocked a lot more than either Jason Morrow has, who's nothing more than a wide receiver in a tight end's body, or Eric Ebron has, who, not quite as bad as Amaro, but was much more of a receiver. But at 6'5", 240, I think you can teach Eric Ebron the block. I really do. I think he has the body for it.
Yeah, you can teach him the block, but I'm telling you, man, I'm not impressed with that guy like that. You know, he's good. He's the best tight end in the draft, but I'm not impressed. I'm not overly impressed with him. I'm not putting him 10 steps ahead of Jenkins. I can't do that. With Aaron Donald, I can put him 10 steps ahead of Hageman or Timmy Jernigan or some of these or Nicks and some of these other guys who's going to be more of a run stopping guy. Donald was everything. Not only is he small, that guy's so strong. It's unbelievable how strong and stout that guy is at the point of attack, man. You see what he lifted at the combine. The guy's a buck. And, I mean, you put him on, man, on third and long, you can put him on DN, man. He's gonna beat that tackle. That's how fast this guy is. You can't, if Donald's there at 12, you got to take Donald. You can get a tight end second round. So I'm not abandoning it. Now, there's only one person down that I'll take over Donald. That's Mike. So what's the guy's name? Mike Evans. That's the only guy that I can see that I would take over Donald if he's there. I don't think Mike Evans is going to be around at 12. But other than that, I don't take Ebron at 12.
Charles, that's cool.
Aaron Donald.
Charles, if you come out of this draft with Aaron Donald in round one and you get a wide receiver and tight end combination in rounds two or three, I'd be fine with that.
And I don't even know if we go wide receiver in three. I go with Jenkins. So this is my draft right here, man. O-line until maybe mid rounds, but I go with Donald. In a perfect world, Donald, Jenkins second round, because we do need a tight end, but I think Jenkins is going to be just as good of a pro as Ebron.
Okay.
I really do believe that. Okay, third round, I think we got to go back to depending on what we do with Ayers, you know, maybe we go DN there. I think you got some guys that may fall to the third round, maybe a Crichton, some of them other guys. I know they like mid-second round, but you never know. It's a draft.
Yeah.
They may fall. Maybe we could trade back in the second round. I don't know. But at the end of the day, Aaron Donald, we get him, man, you're going to see one happy dude. We're going to be blowing it up next year, man. He would take so much pressure off of JPP. It would be unbelievable.
Charles,
that guy's going to command the double team.
The only problem with that, Charles, do you know where you're not going to be blowing it up? On offense.
Why not?
How are you scoring points?
You can't blow it up with Jenkins. Jenkins is what, 6'6", 265, 270. Like I said, John, he runs a 4.7.
Yeah, but he doesn't have that explosive change of direction ability that Ebron has. You know, straight ahead speed is one thing, Charles. You know the things like the three cone drill, the shuttle drill. Those measure quickness, explosiveness. When you get the ball, start and stop. How quickly you can get out of the blocks and make people miss. And Jenkins does not have those qualities in the same amount that Eric Ebron does, in my opinion. Now, I could be wrong. Maybe I'm going to be wrong.
Man,
I don't know.
I don't
but
see.
We'll see.
I don't see. John, I'm honestly with you, man. I just don't see. Ebron's explosive. I seen Jenkins, man. Please today, and we'll talk tomorrow. Please today go watch Jenkins some more, man.
I will do
that
it.
That dude is a big playmaker, man. He made some big, huge catches in college, man.
No
last
problem.
Year.
Charles, I'll do
I
it
mean,
for
man,
you. I got you.
All right, man. We'll talk tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, bud. I love Charles in North Carolina. He makes some good points. Thank you, Charles. 201-939-4513. Wow, it's amazing how big the Donald bandwagon has grown. It's really crazy. Look, he's a good player. I've always liked Aaron Donald. I've been saying that since the start of the draft. To me, he's probably a top 10 talent. Top 12 talent for sure. 201-939-4513. Keith's in Kentucky. Keith, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, John? Hey, man, you got patience, man. Look, I'm for Ebron. I'm going to tell you right now, because I watched the tape on all these guys they're talking about. Ebron is the best tight end, hands down. But on the second pick, second round, I don't really think we're going to go wide receiver after we pick Ebron. I know everybody's thinking that, but Jerry Reese don't never do what you think he's going to do. I don't think we're going to get Donald first round because he's not operating like that. I definitely think we might go running back. If Carlos Hyde is there, I think he's going to go running back because the running backs we got, none of them have proven themselves to stay healthy. None of them. And third round, I wouldn't be surprised if we picked up a center. I would actually like for us to pick up a center. I know we're going to go wide receiver, but what I'm looking at, in the fourth round, you could actually get you a good wide receiver. You might be taking more of a chance, but with us signing a veteran, you know, after the June cut, I think that's more of a possibility.
You know, Keith, and the thing about it, too, though, not only is wide receiver deep, if you pick a center in the third or fourth round, even if you get him early in the fourth, that guy could theoretically compete for a starting spot in year one. It's not out of the question.
Right. I think this draft, we're going all offense just because the moves we're making on the defense. Now, with that extra fifth-round pick, if we don't get Roberts, I actually think, and some Giants fans might not like it, but I think we might get Michael Sam. Even though he had all these, you know, bad things people said about him and all this and that, Jerry Reese was impressed with the guy. And being that he made a difference on his pro day, that only helped him in the long run.
Well, Keith, hold on 1 second. Let me just say this. Do not take too much out of what Jerry Reese said about him at the Combine. You could have asked Jerry Reese about any college prospect, and he would have said positive things about him. So don't take too much out of what Jerry Reese said about him at the Combine when he was asked that question. The problem with Michael Sam, he's too small to play defensive end, and he's not fast enough to play linebacker in the 4-3. He'll eventually
right.
Where I think he's going to go, and I do think he'll get drafted. I think he'll get drafted by a team that runs the 3-4. They'll want a situational pass rusher on third down to rush in passing situations, and that's where I think he's going to wind up. I don't think he's a fit in a 4-3 defense.
Right, okay. But I mainly think we're going to go offense this whole draft. You know, I mean, we're set up for it. If we get Robert, we're set. I think we're set. I think we can run. Our defense right now can run up against anybody as long as they can get the chemistry down. You know, it might be a two-year project, but I don't think David Wilson's going to come back as like he should. I mean, I like the guy. I think he's our best running back, but being that he has a neck injury, you're a running back, you're taking a chance on your life when you're playing that position with an injury like that. And Peyton Hillis, he's not proven to stay healthy. And now there's Rashad Jennings. So I really think second round we might just go running back. I know Giants fans don't like that, but I think that's probably the safest move because you can't rely on Michael Cox.
I'm with you. I appreciate the call, Keith.
All right, take it easy, man.
Thanks, Ben. Yeah, I could see you adding a running back, too. I really could. 201-939-451. You can get a good one in the middle rounds. Start of day 3, 4, 5. I can see that happening. Back to the phones. Mike's in Dallas. Mike, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Doing well, Mike.
Man, Giants fans are driving me crazy this morning. Did they not? We ranked 8th in defense last year. Our defense is okay. You know, if we're not going to get Mike Evans or Ebron, then either drop back or do something else. Maybe defensive end. But, you know, you're talking about, you know, this down lineman who's undersized. I don't want my lineman undersized. That's, you know, that's a recipe for disaster. You know, and as far as Jenkins goes, he had one good game, okay? Everybody fell in love with Reuben Randall in 2012 with one good game, and that didn't work out so well either. Now, I'm not ready to give up on Reuben Randall, but I'm just saying, you know, we need to go offense, 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 okay? Defense, I'm not worried about our defense. You know, we got a lot of defense. We got three good down linemen right now on defense. We don't need another compared to the rest of the problems we have. What do you think about that so far?
Look, I think the Giants' biggest priority this offseason was improving their offense. And frankly, they've used the majority of their resources this season on improving the defense. They've added Schwartz and Jennings as the only two major pieces on offense, and I don't think it's enough. I think they still need to get better on that side of the ball.
You know, but if Evans and Ebron are off the board, unless there's a top-notch defense in there, I don't see really anywhere else we can go.
At
it just seems like we
Here's the problem. You have to figure out if there's somebody, Mike, behind you that wants to trade up too. There has to be a match there. You can't just say, I want to trade down. You have to find somebody that can, you know, match up and want to move up for one. So that's the first thing you got to worry about. The second thing you got to worry about to a certain extent is, do you want to pass up, even if it's a defensive player like Aaron Donald, do you want to pass up on a guy that you think is going to be a Pro Bowler for, you know, half a decade here? And, you know, pick a guy on offense that's not as good of a player just for the sake of getting an offensive player. To me, the worst thing that can happen in this draft if you're a Giant fan is the team trades back and they lose out on a Pro Bowl difference-making type of player to get somebody that's a good player but not a great player. You got to get an impact difference-making player with that first-round pick regardless of where he plays. That, above all else, is my number one priority.
Absolutely, but let me ask you: if we drafted Donald, would he start this year? Would you take him over Jenkins? Would you take him over Patterson?
You know what? That's a great question. If they drafted Aaron Donald, would he start a defensive tackle this year? I'm not sure if he would beat out Colin Jenkins. Colin Jenkins was an excellent player last year. I'm not sure he would beat out Colin Jenkins. You know, that's a great question. If Aaron Donald got drafted at 12, would he start over Colin Jenkins? Now, Hankins would have to start at the one technique because he needs a run stuffer there. Donald can't play there, and Jenkins wouldn't play there either. I don't think he's big enough. So would Donald start over Colin Jenkins at defensive tackle? You know what? I think that's a 50-50 coin flip in training camp, and there's a good – you know what? I don't even say that. I say there's about a 40% chance that Donald would beat out Jenkins for the starting spot.
And we're talking about impact players, you know, hey – that's not an impact force. We don't even know if he's going to start at this point.
Well, you know what, though? I mean, even if he don't start, he would still probably play 40 to 50 snaps a game, I'd say.
But you know what, though? Like I said, we need someone that's going to come in and be an instant spark, not someone who's going to share time. You know, I mean, like I said, I'm not against the kid, but I'd rather get someone that's, you know, I'd rather either drop back a little bit, maybe get a receiver. You know, honestly, I'm not really sold on Ebron. I'd rather get Nichols. I want someone that can block and, you know, catch over the middle, Jason Witten type. I don't need someone that's going to be taken to the house every time. You know, I like Jason Witten better than any you know, a Jason Witten type better than anyone that's a Jimmy Graham type. So I want someone that can do it all. I don't want someone that's, you know, a one-trick pony kind of guy.
Well, I don't know if anybody you're getting in the second round is going to be Jason Witten either. I mean, they could be. But Jason Witten's a once-in-a-generation type of tight end with the way he can play both sides.
No, I understand that. But, you know, we can get, like, you know, an upgrade from Pasco or, you know, someone that's an upgrade from that kind of player. Not someone who's going to be, you know, maybe a Jimmy Graham kind of guy. You know, someone that's, you know, not going to block very well. I don't want that guy. I want someone all around. I want offensive players. I don't want defensive players. Especially guys that are going to share time. You know, we're talking about a defensive end that's going to come in and start right away and, you know, take Justin Tuck's spot. I'm okay with that. But, you know, I just feel like we spent all our resources on defense for the most part, and I don't want to take an undersized tackle at this point.
I hear you. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. But, look, Jerry Reese also drafts for the future. So, you know, Colin Jenkins is only going to be around for a couple more years, and Donald could take over for him. So, there is a need at the defensive line. No one's denying that. They have issues. That's why at 12, if Donald's there, I would not trade down. I'd take him. Again, if those other guys are off the board and he's by far the best player on your board. I wouldn't knock him off the board either. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Tony in Bayshore. Tony, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Tony?
I'll try to make it quick. I got a couple of points. I got a question for you, though. Has the Giants lost a little faith in Eli? Because I'm asking because they haven't restructured him, they haven't extended him, and if and only if, and obviously this might not happen, if the top five quarterbacks were to drop to 12, somewhere in that range, would they pick the best? Would they pick a quarterback like a Bortles, let's take example, if he ends up at 12, for whatever reason, it wouldn't happen, but for whatever reason that was to drop.
I don't believe the Giants would be in the market. No. You could have your choice of every quarterback in the draft. The Giants will not take them at 12.
All right. Now, my other thing is to make some of these comments that I've known. I've been listening to your show. I actually really enjoy your show. I'm glad you're on. I wish you were longer.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. as far as what we've been doing in free agency, I think Jerry Reese has done a great job because he's rebuilt the defense because of what's going on in the NFC East and in the NFC with Philly doing what they're doing on offense. You have to have guys that are quick, fast, and unique corners that can cover because what's going on is with this, you know, this Chip Kelly offense that he's playing right now, our division it's got a lot of receivers, a lot of talented receivers, and you need guys to cover, and you need some guys to stop all this. And we didn't have that last year. Last year we were getting burned. The reason Terrell Thomas didn't come back is he was constantly getting burned. I mean, people didn't see it. I mean, I don't know if you were watching the same games I was, but he was getting burned quite a bit. He would lose his man if we didn't have much of a pass rush last year. So the quarterback had time to throw the ball. And eventually, receivers get open. You have to pass the rush. And we didn't have that. Ayers comes in. Another question before you have to go. Is there a receiver to stretch the field or a weapon in the second, third, or fourth round that the Giants can get? Like what Hakeem was, somebody to compliment Cruz. Can they pick somebody up like that in the later rounds if they don't get somebody like that in the first round? Is there someone else out there like that's, you know, can stretch the field?
Yeah, I'm not sure if you can wait till the fourth round to pick somebody like that, to be honest with
you.
But
I believe
on day two, in either the second or third round, the Giants should be able to get a wide receiver that can contribute in the first year. He might not be a starter. He might not be that Ruben Randall, but I think he can be in the rotation and be in the mix. I mean, you got a guy like Jordan Matthews out of Vanderbilt, who's 6'3 and can run. I like Martavis Bryant out of Clemson. I think he's a good player. Jarvis Landry put a ton of good stuff on tape when he played at LSU. Dante Moncrief, a guy at Ole Miss, is pretty good too.
So who, in your opinion, in the June 1st cuts, could the Giants look at? And we don't know who's going to get cut.
Right. That's a problem.
Again, we're playing the what-if game anyways from here on out. Who do you think we are having an eye on? Because I agree with you. I think Owen Daniels would be a phenomenal guy to have on the Giants. He's a good blocker. He's got steady hands. You know, he'd be a good veteran stopgap. He's much better than I believe Myers was as an all-around tight end, not so much as a receiving tight end. I think Myers is a better receiver. We just didn't use him correctly, or he just didn't get our system better. But he's like an all-around good blocker, good run guy, and he can get you the first down. He has better awareness, I think, on the field. But who do you think as a receiver? Because, you know, somebody that can, for 1 year, be our Hakeem Nicks.
All right, thanks for the call. Appreciate it, man. You know, I don't think there's anybody out there that you're going to get after June 1st. I don't know who's going to be there, to be honest with you. So it's hard for me to tell. I don't know who's going to get cut. It could be somebody that I didn't even think of, so it's hard to say. All right, guys, I told you I might have to cut the show short. I know I got three guys on hold. I never do this. I always take the calls, but I got to run. You'll see why later on Giants.com, by the way. So that's my tease for you. I think you're going to like it. So sorry. You guys call back tomorrow. Sorry, Rico. Sorry, Montrell. Sorry, Tom. Please call back.